We are going to keep moving down the agenda. Number 15, waterfowl hunting seasons is our next item. And we have Director Tom Kirschman with us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Director. Number 15A in your booklet has the August management take. I know that Andrew had described this particular recommendation, which you made a proposal at your last meeting. We don't have any recommended changes to your current proposal. What this does is it removes some of the counties in the southeast for the August management take. It's a option management approach that we use working with landowners working in areas where we want to try to reduce that local population to help with depredation issues. So we don't have any recommended changes. No action is required unless you'd like to make some type of adjustment to it, with final action being at the April commission meeting.
Very good. Any questions for Director Kirschman? Comments?
Okay.
All right, seeing none.
Madam Chair, going on to 15B, the last waterfowl action sheet you have in your booklet has to do with the non-resident waterfowl hunting seasons. Obviously, a lot of the comments that you received today during the open forum, comments that you have received in writing, email, phone calls that you have had here recently. The action sheet there is in front of you, which reflects your recommended proposal from your last meeting with the adjustments of the 5% increase divvied up between the units. If you look on the back of that first page, the 210 additional licenses on that 00B, or that statewide hunting unit, which has both public and private land, an additional 50 licenses in the private lands hunting unit, which is classified as V, the letter V, which is Brown, Campbell, Edmonds, Falk, McPherson, Walworth counties, again, private land only, an additional 55 licenses in the 00Z, which is private land only, essentially statewide, but excluding some of those other units. So that action sheet reflects what you had talked about at your last commission meeting. We do not have any recommended changes to your proposal that you have here. And Madam Chair will certainly stand by to try to answer any questions that you may have. Again, you've had a lot of comment, and we'll turn it over to you for commission discussion.
Very good. Thank you, Director Kirschman. Any questions for Tom on this particular item, or comments from what we've heard today? Commissioner Beast,
Tom, in some of the comments made earlier today, there was licenses left over. What units were those, and how many were left over, do you know?
Madam Chair. So, Commissioner Beast, when you look at the concept of leftover licenses, we did have a couple of units where we would have some leftover licenses, and I'm going to ask you to refer to the front page of your action sheet where you have the two maps, if I may. And this year in 2020, I'll say 2023, that's the hunting season of 2023, which may trickle over into 24 a little bit. We did have a unit which is the 00X, that central part of the state, so that top map right in the middle there, that 00X. That particular one, we had 304 leftover licenses or unsold licenses. And when you look at all other units' licenses sold out, there are a couple of them that would have first choice applications did not exceed the number of licenses allocated. If there were a few leftover licenses, they would then be sold or picked up as leftover licenses. So the 00X was the one unit where there were remaining licenses that went unsold. Of that, it would have been the 6,300 total licenses available for last year.
Seemed like today a lot of the comments from the public was concerning that far northeast corner of the state for the increase. But looking here, we didn't increase numbers in that area. It was to different units. But the majority of the people that commented today were from that northeast corner. So last year we didn't increase those numbers, and we didn't increase them this year either.
Madam Chair, just to try for any clarification, if I may try to respond to what you're referencing, Commissioner B. So the 00Y, there were no additional licenses. It was the 500 three-day temporary licenses. Where there would have been additional licenses would have been in the statewide license where there would have been the 00B, because the 00B is valid up in the Northeast there as well. And the difference last year compared to the year before would have been 200 additional licenses. Prior to last year would have been 3,725 in the 00B, which is the statewide, and then there would have been the 200 additional in the fall of 2023.
Additional questions? Commissioner White.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom, maybe you answered it, but if we didn't get them all filled and there's like 4,800 on the first time that were committed and there was like 1,200 left over, whatever, do those go into the statewide then, or do they go back to the same unit that they were originally proportioned for?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Commissioner White, they would stay in that remaining unit. They do not get switched over to another unit.
Okay.
They would stay there, correct. As leftover licenses, then there would be an additional draw for folks to put in for them.
That leftover draw then would only be for that licenses that those were established for, is that correct?
Correct.
Additional questions or comments? Tom, just a quick question. We heard comments about the overcrowding and some of the bad actors that are coming and pushing folks out. Do we have any record where some of our conservation officers have been called to assist with some of those issues?
Madam Chair, I'd have to go back and actually talk to our staff, our officers. I think if I was to ask Sam to come up, I think it'd be very difficult for him to probably answer as well. But Sam, please correct me if I'm wrong. There are probably some instances where individuals will call an officer depending on the situation, scenario, how far it went, what it may have been like. I'm guessing more times than not, it was probably a verbal exchange and folks went their opposite directions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to say how often that occurs, the frequency of it, the severity of it, I don't know that we would have that type of information to share with you.
Thank you. Secretary Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to ask Tom real quick here, instead of focusing on the numbers, Tom, can you explain the variances in the units and talk about the units? There's public land units, there's public private land units, there's private land units, the history around those units, because we do have a very complicated unit map when it comes to non-resident waterfall. Can you just walk us through a little bit of history there and the differences amongst those units, please?
So, boy, that's a loaded question. I will try. And I think you do want to make reference to, again, those two maps on the front. The top map are the three-day temporary or the three-day non-resident waterfall licenses. Again, when you draw one of those licenses, 3 days maximum, right? The bottom map there on the front page is the 10-day or season-long. And why it says season-long, that 00A is a season-long license. That's been the history around it. That's how it was formulated. The rest of the state there, that 00B, is a 10-day license. You go back in history, the 10-day license at one time was 10 consecutive days also. And then here recently, through legislative action, it divvied up to 2 5-day periods, as was alluded to in some of the comments that individuals brought forward to you as well. So, and then you can also compare, again, looking at that table on the back page there. We have the various units. Some of those units are private land and public land, right? So that means if you draw that particular license, if you have private land permission to hunt on, you're good to go, right? Working with those landowners. The public part of it would be is you could go hunt game production areas, waterfall production areas, walk-in areas, creps that we work with landowners enrolling into public access as well. So there are those units that are private public and those that are private land only. Now, in particular, that the one that probably has the longest history is that 00X unit that's in the central part of the state. When that particular unit in the private land concept goes way back to a lot of the goose hunting days and multiple folks that provided commercial goose hunting opportunities along the Missouri River. And as there was discussions about those non-resident licenses, they were focused in the central part of the state of private land only, to really focus on folks that are picking up those licenses or working with those folks that are doing some of that goose guiding opportunity, or trying to gain a permission to hunt on private land. Then, as time went along, we have a couple other units that 00V, which is up in that north central part of the state, is private land also. That 00X, which we just alluded to, and then the 00Z, which is, again, kind of that statewide one. The 00V, as in Victor, up there in the north central part of the state, the likelihood why part of the reason was the private land requirement was attached to that is those licenses essentially were reallocated from the 00X unit. At one time there, I believe there was 1,500 licenses. So some of them, because we never sold them out, at least in recent time, probably going back the last 15, 20 years, so some of those licenses went to that north central part of the state there and remained as private land only. Now, again, you have to keep in mind the 00B, that 10-day license, is a statewide license except down in that way southeast and that 11A. So that statewide license 00B is public land and private land, but then you have these other units that overlap them as well. So you could have individuals with two different license types in the same county on a given day, right? They could have that statewide license, which would allow them private land, public land, and you could have a 00V, which is private land only, a temporary 3-day license. And so that's why you see the difference there and some of the history around that. And then additional licenses of that 00Z is a newer unit also, again, utilizing some of those licenses that were not being sold in that 00X central part of the state, applying it statewide. But as you can see, it doesn't go into the way northeast to avoid that additional overlap of the conversation that has been brought forward many times about the number of hunters that hunt up in the northeast. Why is the northeast so high interest? Obviously, it's because it's a primary part of the prairie pothole region. It's where peak migrations occur, where you see high volumes of waterfowl in particular in certain years coming through there, right? And so a lot of those non-resident hunters, including resident hunters, follow the migration very closely. And that's where you hear a lot of the comments and the conversation about the number of hunters being up in the northeast. But that's why the 00Z did not include and go up into the northeast and stayed away from that particular area.
Thank you, Tom. Just a follow-up to that then, are the season dates different for those non-resident units? If I were to hunt, let's say, 00X versus 00Y, can you explain those season dates a little bit and how those non-residents can pick, you know, their 3-day period or if it's a 10-day license and how that all works?
Sure, Secretary Roebling. So, Madam Chair, if I may, this is where waterfowl hunting gets a little bit more complex and complicated, right? So we do have the season structure for waterfowl hunting, and we have the season dates. And if you go back to the resident waterfowl hunting piece of it, we have the High Plains Zone, the Central Plains Zone, and the High Plains in western South Dakota, and it's divvied up across state. And sorry, I don't have a map in front of me. But there are season dates set for those particular areas. So when a non-resident draws and puts in and draws and receives one of these non-resident licenses, depending where that unit is located, depending where they want to hunt, they're also going to have to follow the season date set for resident hunters in South Dakota as well. So they have to be cognizant of the time they want to come, the exact location where they are, to make sure that it fits within the dates that are valid for that particular area. So the season dates, for example, way out in western South Dakota, 00Z, are different than 00Y. There's some overlap, but some will start earlier and some will go a little bit later. So they have to be cognizant of where they are, where they apply for, and then select their dates that they're going to hunt utilizing that non-resident waterfowl license.
Very good. Commissioner Locken.
Commissioner Locken here. Refresh my memory of when they're picking their dates, when they have to select their 3-day slot.
Madam Chair, when they submit their non-resident waterfowl application, they can put in those those dates there. Now, if something comes up and they have to adjust it, as long as it's before they make the adjustment before the dates on their application license starts, then they have the ability to work with us to adjust them, but it has to be prior to the dates that they would select.
Additional questions? Commissioner White.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I'm looking at the statewide licenses, do they overlap then, for instance, the 500 that is allocated for Clark Coddington?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Those overlap the other ones that are actually designated for that unit?
That is correct, Commissioner White. So if you look at your two maps on the front page, the 00B are those non-resident waterfall licenses that are considered a statewide license, right? Then if you look at the top map, 00Y, there's 300 three-day licenses that are available for those particular counties. They will, and they do overlap. So you could have an individual out there hunting the same day that has a 00Y license and somebody that has a 00B.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Commissioner Teal?
Is there any sort of survey data that shows how many of the 00B license holders last year hunted that northeast corner that would fall within 00Y?
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
I know we've done some analysis in the past, and I believe we still ask, and I could confirm with Chad, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we ask the county or counties that they most commonly hunt with their license, so we can dive into there and get a somewhat of an estimate of which counties are the most popular used by certain license types. And we've done that before, but it's been quite some time that we've done that more analysis. But we do ask, what county or counties do you most commonly hunt in? The county you most hunt the most or most commonly hunt in.
Thank you.
Tom, just remind me again. So last year, the commission approved a 5% increase, exactly what we're talking about. How many non-residents took advantage of that? Do we have the numbers on those that submitted for that license?
So, Madam Chair, if you consider the 6,300 licenses for this last fall, which would be the fall of 2023, all the licenses would have been issued except for, as of March 1, they all would have been issued except for 304 three-day licenses that would have occurred in 00X, that central South Dakota unit, three-day temporary license on private land only. All other of those duck, I call them duck license, that's primarily what folks are after, would have been issued.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Cole?
Yeah, so are you telling me that there were 5,900 then, or 5,996 or whatever? Is that right? Is that what I'm reading or hearing?
Approximately, yes.
Okay. Yes, two other questions. Number one, what's the situation with waterfowl guides? Are guides allowed? Are they? Because I never heard anybody say anything about it. Are there? And do they? If there are, can they be residents, non-residents? Can just a person go? Have any of the conflicts come from them? There's eight questions in a row.
Madam Chair, I might have to write those down.
Yeah,
Commissioner Cole. Briefly, to summarize the question around waterfowl guides. Are there waterfowl guides? Yes. Are they resident, non-residents? Yes. Is there anything that permits them right now or limits them or have to go through some type of application process? No. It's been a conversation that has been brought up numerous times over the last 3-4 years in particular. We have had conversations with legislators asking questions about this. Right now, as a commission and an agency, you technically do not even have the authority to put something in place to permit or issue a license or a permit to outfitters and guides in South Dakota. That would require legislative action. Okay. What is required of those individuals or those companies or entities that do that type of work, they would be required to register with the Department of Revenue for a state sales tax. That would be the only thing that would be quote unquote of a requirement of them right now.
Yes, please.
Can I finish? Okay, I'm sorry to ask all these questions, but I'm confused on a couple of them. The other thing is the 22 resident license number was, where did I see it, 17,000, is that correct? Do you have in front of you like 21, 20, 19, or do you just jump all the way back to 20 years ago, 2003? I'm just curious if there's been an increase just recently.
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
So when we look at, are you talking resident duck hunters?
Yeah, just residents.
When we looked at resident duck hunter numbers, we go back in time and we do see a continual decline in resident duck hunters. That has been talked about numerous times here. In the recent years, the last 2 years, we've been fairly steady, very similar, about 10,500-ish. I'm going to just use that number. We did see back in 2020 a jump there of about a 1,500, 1,800, I forget the exact number. The couple years prior to that, we're again close to that 10,500 in there. So we did see a little increase there that 1 year in particular, but if you look at the last 5 years, approximate average is right around that 10,500 to a little bit higher than that.
Okay, just a clarification. Is this number that I'm, is this 17,000 all of them or just resident?
Yeah, there would be, what I just spoke to were resident duck hunters, and what? Then you would have individuals closer to that 17,000 would be waterfowl hunters.
Okay, so that's everything.
Yeah, it would be duck hunters, goose hunters, that is correct.
But just resident?
Resident.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the one comment that I would just like to add, just overview looking at this, I think what I see, I mean, this is a tough decision, obviously, but one of the things that I see, and I'd sure like to see the department working with the stakeholders on this, I mean, it looks like the problem we've got is our own problem in South Dakota. We've got a resource, and we're losing the people paying for it. And, you know, all the people that spoke this morning, I would challenge them to work with us and whatever I can do to see what we can do to get some new resident waterfowl hunters hunting here. And it's interesting that the one spike year, I'm only going to assume 2020 was the pandemic, and our resident numbers went up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would take that as the challenge to go out because, I mean, we're all about South Dakota, number one, obviously. I think we need non-residents, and we need a fine line between them. You know, they bring economic development. They bring a lot of things to us. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the challenge I see is getting non-resident hunters, and these organizations that are doing that, I would challenge them to work with us and do whatever we can to increase our resident waterfowl hunters. That's it.
Additional comments or questions? Commissioner Whitmire.
Commissioner Whitmire, thank you. Tom, we had the representative from 2014 when this legislation was passed overwhelmingly, 95%. At that time to today, did I understand that, or can you confirm that 3,000 reduction in residents since that time, is that fit with your numbers, that 14 to today we've lost 3,000?
Madam Chair,
yes,
I don't have the exact number, but I would say it's close to or within that range.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
of duck
hunters. I mean, legislative intent at that time was to allow 5%, and now we've got 3,000 fewer. I mean, that's just a significant thing to look at, too. Thank you.
Additional comments from the Commission on a direction with this particular proposal? Commissioner Locken.
Commissioner Locken, just one more clarification. What were the first draw statistics, the demand for those 00B on the first choice?
Madam Chair,
yes.
In 2023, so the 00B, there was 3,925 available, okay? In the first draw, there was 5,180 applications submitted for the 00B, or that statewide license.
Okay. One more question.
Yes, please.
When people are, let's jump back to the three-day licenses. Are people generally putting in a late date for their starting date and then if they hear the ducks are moving, they'll move it forward and take an earlier date if they see the conditions correct? Or do people kind of just lock in the date and stay with it?
Madam Chair, yes. That's something that I'd certainly go back to licensing and ask some specifics. I'm going to guess that there's a combination of both. There are going to be folks that will certainly put in the dates because they know that's what's available to them. They're going to base it probably on the typical migration and look in that as a barometer. There's going to be others that will do a later date and see how things go and then make sure to move it up when it would be appropriate. So I'm guessing there's a mixed bag within how people determine their dates that they set.
Thank you.
Additional comments from the commission on the issue? There are no recommended changes from the department on this. I know it's an emotional topic, and for the transparency of the public, any thoughts on what the commission would like to do if we move forward with this and have finalization in April as is? Your input, please. Commissioner Beese.
I guess, you know, I proposed this last time to add this 5%, and I guess I still back it myself. I mean, if we had 500 hunters across the state, what if we had them, you know, most of the concerns that people were concerned with was overcrowding, losing their place to hunt. What happens if we go out and recruit 1,500, 2,000 residents instead of 500 non-residents? What's that going to do for competition and a place to hunt and stuff like that? I mean, yes, we need to get our waterfowl residents up, but I think for now that's not going up. We need to fill in with the non-residents. It's my opinion. So next month, I will probably vote for it myself. It's just my opinion. I mean, there's still a lot of time for people to contact and make different concerns, but that's where I'm sitting.
Thank you, Commissioner Beese. Commissioner White?
I guess what I'm looking at is we're 210 more licenses for across the state for public. Is that right? We're loading up, you know, 500 where their complaints are coming from. There's 500 there. But if you got an overlap of 4,000, and that's probably the prime place in the state of South Dakota to go duck hunting, there's a good chance a good portion of those are going to head that direction. Is there any way that we, and I see you've got projected 210 increase, is there any way that we could eliminate the increase potential of that being going against what seems to be the area that is in peril up there? Is there any other parts of our that have more applications than there's allotted?
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
There are a few units that would have that. What the primary place that had more applications than license available was the 00A, which is down in the southeast, which is one area that historically, every time that conversation has come up of changing or adjusting that license types, will really create a conversation, if I can put that politely. The other place is the 00Y, which is that northeast corner. Like this last year, we had more applications, 578, and there's 500 available. So those are the two main ones where you have more applications in particular than you have licenses allocated at the moment, is the statewide and then the Y, which is up in the northeast.
I'm not proposing this. I'm just,
yeah.
If we're eliminating,
I'm just saying that those are the two areas that you have right now where there's more applications than there are licenses available.
So, Commissioner White, you're just wondering about if that would be a tool in the toolbox we could use, but no formal amendment to the proposal.
Well, it wouldn't be expanding where the problem seems to be, I guess is what it amounts to, because right now we're putting another 210 out there across the board, which can overlap capability, I guess is what I'm saying.
Any discussion from the commission?
Do you think, Would it be possible to split those tags up? Do they have to go to the 00B, or would it be possible to move some of them as like a 3-day, and even if it was in 00Y, because I think it would be more receptive by the public to have a 3-day hunter in there versus somebody making two trips. Is that an option?
Madam Chair,
yes,
I mean, all of those options would be on the table for you if that is your desire.
Sure.
You know, there is in statute the limitations of the number of 10-day licenses, the number that are available for 3-day license or temporary licenses, but where the allocation of those licenses go and what particular units, that would be at your discretion. Again, what you have in front of you right now, your proposal was simply based off the fact of the conversation last commission meeting of implementing the 5% increase of each license type, and you applied them to where they were, where the 5% was applied the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the basis of using where they are today. So you as a commission have that ability to move those or adjust if you so desired.
I personally, I would support the more licenses, but would like to see them reallocated in some way.
Thank you, Commissioner Teal. Commissioner Bees.
I believe that's what we did last time. We did the increase, wasn't it, Tom? We did not increase those northeast
that
corner.
Is,
we
that
kept
is,
those additional tags out of that area last time because of the same reason.
That is
we're
correct.
We're addressing now, so we didn't over-impact it more.
00Y was not adjusted last year either. That was at 500 3-day temporary licenses. That was not modified or adjusted.
So, Secretary, yes.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just along those lines, Tom, do you have the demand for those 00Z licenses? They are a private land license. They're everywhere with the exception. They're everywhere but the Northeast on private land. Do you have the demand for those?
So the 00Z in 2023, last year we had 300 available. We had 281 first choice applications for them. So there was 19 left over, so they would have sold as left over the next round then. So just about the 300. Z is in zebra.
Yeah. So, Tom, I want to go back to the concept of changing where those tags are allocated. So we know last year up in 00Y, we didn't add any up there. It's the statewide tags where folks are going up there. Is there a way to amend the proposal that would not allow that area, that unit?
For the statewide, Madam Chair?
The statewide one, yes. Because I think that's what we're trying to get at, right? We don't want that area saturated. Or, yes, please.
I would agree with that. I guess I get what you're saying. I had talked to and read some of the comments that seem like they're more concerned about the 2 5-days than they are about the 3-day, because these non-residents come on 2 separate occasions and make 2 trips. But I do like the idea if it would be possible to modify a portion of the statewide tags that were not valid in 00Y. But I don't know, is that what you meant too?
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Tom.
So, Madam Chair, you certainly have that ability if you chose to do that. What I would offer to you, and this is just simply thinking about the broader conversation, if you exclude the same area for the 00B that 00Y has those 500 3-days, you are going to exclude, as these folks have talked to you already, some of the more desired areas for waterfowl hunting in South Dakota. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be 3,000 or 3,900 possible licenses. Now, please keep in mind, not all 3,925 are going up into those counties. I can't give you the exact number or proportion right now. When we did that analysis back, probably going close on 8, 9, 10 years ago, I believe it was somewhere in that ballpark, but don't quote me, of 40 to 45% were up there, and I'd have to go back and look at those numbers. I think it would be a stretch to say that 100% of those folks are going up to the Northeast. That's certainly a highly desired area when it comes to waterfowl hunting. There's no disputing that. but you cannot say that all 3,925 go up to those particular counties.
Thank you.
So it's just those things you have to consider in the big picture as you look at your options.
Very good. And I'm not proposing that in any way. I just wanted to try and clarify what some of the conversation was been. Now, there's been no recommended changes, so we don't have to take action on this. It will move forward, and finalization will be next month, correct?
As your proposal is drafted right now, you would take your final action in April.
So with that, any final comments from this commission? We don't need a motion. We won't take action. But as a hot item for our users out there, I think we've had good discussion. Any final thoughts? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioner Bartling. Well, I think, you know, we've heard the comments verbally as well as in the written comments. And I think as we take this into our next meeting next month, you know, I personally am going to take those comments very seriously because I do understand that the landowners and the residents who hunt up in that northeast corner, that really desired part of the state, have valid concerns. They have issues. And so I hope we think about that as we take this to the next meeting for finalization, whether we adopt it or not. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Additional comments? My only two cents, I wanted to thank former state lawmaker Mr. Warner for coming and sharing some history behind the 2014 decision when the legislature passed this and the intent behind that bill that became law. Since then, this commission has only utilized that tool one time last year. And I think that says something to the decisions that commissions have made, knowing that that tool is available. I will concur with the comments made by Commissioner Bartling. We are listening to the concerns from those folks up in Commissioner Whitmire's area, and we hear them. And we're going to move forward with this proposal. There have been no changes to it. So it will move to April. Public comment can continue to come in, and we look forward to hearing from you. And with that, we thank you, Director Cushman, for bringing us the information that you did.
Yeah, you're welcome, Madam Chair, and appreciate the conversations. And if there's some other piece of dated information you'd like to have in your hands, please get in touch with me, and we'll do our very best to pull that together for you as you're considering this conversation and moving forward. So we're here to help you if we can.
One more. Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, thank you, Tom, as long as you're inviting more questions. When we, with the 2-5, they, same number of hunters that did the 10, but with the 2-5, if you've got some kind of history on those actual hunting days, I mean, I've seen some great surveys that you guys put out. If you've got some more information, you know, some of the comments would allude to that we're continually getting pressure on waterfowling. And, you know, to say that on other things, that's probably true, but in waterfowling, it's been flat as far as I know. But if you've got something that kind of backs that up, that the total days in the field by non-residents has been this over the last number of years. And
yeah, we have that information. We'll pull that together for you for both residents, non-residents, and gives through our hunter harvest survey, we ask the number of days that they hunt on average. And so we can pull some of that information together and share that with you as well.
Yeah, it'd just be better able to understand the pressure. Thank you.
Very good.
May I have one last question?
Yes, please, Commissioner White.
Of the 300 that we did last time, how many were allocated to statewide OOY and statewide? How many were of the 300 were allocated to those two?
So the statewide, the 00B, last year how the proportion was split out, 200 were added for the fall of 2023 for the 00B or the statewide.
Okay.
And then there were 50 added to the 00V, Victor, 00V, Victor.
Okay.
50 more, or 50 were added there. And then my other one, where am I missing it? Z had a 50 addition as well. So two of them were private land only units and one was private and public land units.
That just gives us a little historical value and
Yep.
Where it went to land last year. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, very good. Thank you all for a very good discussion. I appreciate all the comments that were made today. We're going to keep moving.